Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. We're inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio right now. And with me, Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender. Mayor, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
The last time we talked on the phone, you were still planning the Barnett Arena replacement or upgrade, and the City Council has voted. Give us an update, please.
Late last month, the City Council voted to build an additional arena on the Civic Center campus, and which would mean reusing the current Barnett Arena to be in support of that new arena, to reconfigure the Barnett to make it a multi-purpose room, and then build a new arena, which would take two and a half to three years to actually construct. So right now we're in the phase of waiting for citizens to sign petitions to reject the council's vote and put it on the public ballot.
Okay, so is that something that you expect as standard part of this planning process, or is this something that sort of came up and is sort of delaying what you would like to happen?
Well, yeah, it's delaying what needs to be done. There's a group in town that keeps their eye on city government and passes petitions on things they don't agree with. And they do so in the spirit of just letting the public have a voice. That's what they say up front, and then behind the scenes, then they paint a different picture that the city is being deceptive and that it's corruption, and they try to get citizens angry and against the project in order to sign petitions. So it's not it's an outwardly honest looking approach, but it's inherently a dishonest approach, in my opinion. But that deadline for signing petitions and submitting them is March 20th. We will know at that point if within a few days after that, if we're going to have a public election or not. If we do, it'll be in with the June primary, June 5th.
So what kind of education process then needs to begin or is already underway about what you're voting for, what you're throwing your support behind, or what you're opposed to?
Well, there's kind of two phases of this. To date, since last June, I've done 36 public presentations on this financial dilemma, whether or not to put money into the existing Barnett or whether to build a new arena. And I've been advocating during that time that we need to build a new arena based on the simple fact that comes out in the presentation that refurbishing the Barnett Arena does not have a return on investment. And that's going to be $25 million. We get no return. So that's primarily an expense. Constructing a new arena will be approximately $130 million, but the return on investment will begin immediately after it's opened, with additional events and entertainment acts, additional visits to Rapid City, and so on. And so it's a huge thing. So that's been kind of phase one of this. And we're still in the tail end of phase one. General public information. We've made all of these things available on social media. There's a video out there where you can watch the presentation that I give. And for the record, it's a kind of a boring presentation as opposed to a live presentation. But it's barnettarena.com. You can watch any segment or all of the 50-minute presentation. It's a good investment of time if you live in Rapid City. And so then phase two will come if and when we find out this is actually going to be a ballot issue. So a few days after March 20th, when we've had a chance to count and verify the petition signatures, the City Council will meet, I believe, on March 26th to acknowledge the petitions and set a time for public vote. After that March 26th meeting, then we'll consider this a ballot issue, and that's when phase two of the public education will start. That will be by private individuals or groups who will raise money to to advertise. This will become a campaign, much like a political campaign, and it will advocate for the new arena. And then I assume the same group that is putting out petitions now will then change gears and become the opposition group to try to show how the city's lying and how every, you know, doom is near and that sort of thing. And so that will take place up until the night before the election and maybe the morning of the election. And then later that night on June 5th, then we'll know which direction we're going. And at the very latest, late evening on June 5th, 2018, we will know if we're going to spend $25 million, or as I truly believe as a tax-paying citizen, if we're going to throw away $25 million, or if we're going to invest $130 million into a new arena. But we're going to do one of those two things. We're not going to put this off any further. This is our chance. And I'm not going to bring it back in 6 months and try to do it again, or in 2 years, or whatever else. And that $25 million is going to really put this issue down the road far enough where all new people will have to deal with it at construction cost increases of about 4% annually. This will be a massive undertaking in the future. Hmm. So that's where we're at.
So the things that you, on your, you know, from your viewpoint, need to convince people is first what you just said, which is money is going to get spent, and whether it's we're kicking the can down the road, mm-hmm. or whether we're making the investment now. What else? I mean, do you have to really convince people or help them see that you want them to understand?
Well, this is a tough dialogue in Rapid City. We need things to be proven to each and every individual. So someone who may be opposed to the arena would say, well, that doesn't affect me because I don't go to events at the Civic Center. Or that doesn't affect me because I don't work for the visitor industry. So they're kind of lacking the larger picture. Rapid City is a sales tax economy. The majority, about 46-point-some percent of our general fund revenue is made up of sales tax. That's double digits higher than that of Sioux Falls, for example. Sioux Falls has a more balanced economy with sales and property tax. Rapid City is largely sales tax. So, and that's not by accident. In about 1874, Custer and his men discovered gold. And that word spread like wildfire. And in the next 10 years, people flooded this area seeking to be millionaires from gold. And by the mid-1880s, we were a settlement of disappointed miners in Rapid City. In 1882, we officially incorporated as Rapid City, and with really the sole purpose of supplying the miners, supplying other people. So if we can't be the epicenter of the gold or the whatever is happening in the area, then those folks are going to need tools and supplies and food and entertainment and relaxation and those type of things. And by 1890, we were dubbed Gateway to the Black Hills. So that's not a new age tourism marketing plan. That's from 1890. There were postcards sent out early around 1900 with, views of the Needles Highway and just showing some of the great things in Rapid City. And then, of course, we had the construction of Mount Rushmore and more and more amenities for the visitor industry, kind of on the same principle as in the late 1800s. People will need fun and experiences and food and medical attention, and all of these services, and Rapid City will be the one to provide it. So my point is, we are a visitor destination, and we always have been. It's not logical that we can get away with never reinvesting in that economic machine ever again. Hmm. So in 1972, our 28-year-old mayor and city council decided to build this Civic Center complex. It was done with the addition of a half-cent sales tax and also with the addition of a one-cent entertainment tax or bed, booze, and board tax, which is officially called the gross municipal receipts tax. So it's a tourism tax. And so in 1975 through 77, the complex was constructed. And in 1977, we entered a whole new era of entertainment and community events and trade shows and conventions and that sort of thing. And we saw our heyday kind of dwindling in the 90s. The building was old. It was a 1960s building design, built for a 1975 market. And by the mid-1990s, we saw that there were some consequences to that. Now, flash forward to today, the Barnett Arena is not marketable. The floor space is less than everyone else's. We built the Barnett for basketball, not for a combination or multiple events. We built it for basketball. So we try to make it fit. The ceiling height is 54 feet. Today, in traveling entertainment, the standard requirement is 70 to 75 feet. So what that means is they skip over Rapid City. They won't park their dozen semi-trucks out in the parking lot and just come in and play on a stage like Elvis did. They keep driving, and they go to the next venue, Billings or Casper or somewhere else. So so we're missing missing those attractions that will bring hundreds of thousands of people into that arena.
So tell us how the city is planning to pay for it. Talk about the Vision Fund.
The Vision Fund is that half-cent sales tax that was voted on by the people in 1972 and again in 1992 or 3. So it's a half-cent sales tax. When it was initially voted on, it generated about, I think, $400,000 annually. Today it generates about $12 million. Hmm. And so we will take half of that Vision Fund collection every year and apply it to debt service. We have some cash saved. We have around $25 million saved for this purpose. And then we will borrow approximately $105 million. When I say borrow, I mean we'll sell bonds. That's what government agencies have to do. We'll sell bonds and finance the rest of it. And the debt service payment will be $6 million. So that will leave another $6 million roughly in the Vision Fund for important community projects, whether it be a swimming pool or a new soccer field or some other addition to the parks or whatever the citizen priority is at the time. $6 million. That's more than the Vision Fund started with originally. And then that fund will grow 2-3% every year. The other half then will go straight to debt service, and that'll be on a 30-year bond.
Will the new arena cost money every year? Will it be funded every year, or is there a window where, I mean, you're always investing in it, right?
Right. The new arena will require those semi-annual debt payments, but that complex today operates largely on its own revenues.
Okay.
About 75% of its operating expenses come from revenue from the events that they hold. Then the 25% comes from the BBB tax that I spoke about earlier, and sure, that's what it was designed for, to pay for event centers or to promote the city, and Rapid City uses it for both. So we have an idea what the increased expenses will be, and they fall right in line with our business plan of operating the new arena.
And for the people who say, you know, it's time to look at the overall economic model, are there ways to continue to grow the balance for Rapid City with the property tax and the sales tax, how it currently is?
Well, we're a tough market for talking about property tax. Property rights is one of our issues that we'll go to war over in this part of the country. And so I assume that we'll continue to be a sales tax economy until the end of time. Yeah. I spoke a little bit at last year's budget presentation to the City Council about diversifying that revenue package just a little bit, and was quickly defeated by those that took it as a threat to raise taxes or do other things. So we're a visitor destination. It's what we do. It's what we've always done. So this will bring money into the community.
I want to talk a little bit before we let you go about some of the other things about growing Rapid City as far as small business and industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are some of the success stories in the city that you see in growth and development?
Well, we are growing, and thank goodness we're not booming, and thank goodness we're not stagnant. I think we have the ideal growth rate of 1 or 2% annually. We have issued $300 million worth of building permits for 2 years in a row. In about 2011, we topped 3 million? I meant 300 million, if
okay,
I did.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so in 2011, we topped 200 million in building permits, and it was the celebration, but we all knew that it could never happen again. It was a fluke, 200 million. Mm. Well, now, just this many years later, we've topped 300 million 2 years in a row. And this early point in this year, we're already over 100 million. So we are bringing people and jobs to Rapid City. I'm not telling you that this is a government effort, but Rapid City is a good place to develop. It's a good place to come and live. Employees will come here and be happy here. And speaking of employees, the millennials, like it or not, I'm 56, and so people in my generation and older are being replaced by millennials, like it or not. we are wilting away one by one each day, and the millennials are growing 10 by 10 each day. And so the millennials is the largest generation in America, and they're changing the rules how everything works. If you go into a restaurant and they've remodeled and you don't like the seating, there's a reason behind that remodel. And it's not because of people my age or older. It's a fact of life. They're changing everything. So millennials, all 83 million of them today, it's over 84% of them report that they regularly travel for entertainment. We have reports from local millennials that they're so frustrated that their friends move, or once they've moved, they won't move back because there's no entertainment in Rapid City. They want to live somewhere where they can take in a concert every few weeks or month, or where they want more life experiences. So despite what people my age or older might think, the millennials don't want virtual reality. They don't want to watch music on their phone or on their computer. They want reality. They want experiences. And in contrast, you know, people like me, I'm going to die one day.
You're only 56.
but I will die when I'm whatever, 80, okay. 90 years old, mowing the lawn or painting my house.
Right.
And this generation will die on a Ferris wheel at a concert in Brazil. They are going through life looking for experience. And we have to be ready for that. If you don't change, you give up, you die.
Right. But so, they also have to have jobs, and they have to have,
a
place to live. And
they will have jobs, but it's different than how we think. These millennials, generally speaking, are never going to work one place for 30 years.
Okay.
They're going to work here for 2 years. They're going to work there for 9 months. They're going to take a year off and travel. They're going to do all of these things that sound crazy to people like me. But there's evidence that they're doing it. They're getting away with it. It's working. They're getting their way. They are the future. So we have to keep, as we plan Rapid City, whether it's the east of 5th downtown expansion or new zoning regulations or whether it's a new arena, we have to keep in mind that people like me are not going to be living here one day relatively soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building a city and building amenities for people, in some cases, haven't been born yet. We have to keep an eye on the future. I think that's hardest for us in Rapid City.
Yeah. How are you seeing the city change for those millennials already? Are you seeing signs of it?
Yeah, absolutely. This building, I think this building right next to you, is a good example of that. They have custom built that business for millennials. And it's attractive to millennials.
And what's the business right next to us? I haven't walked down the street yet.
I can't tell you the name of it, but okay. It's in this building that used to be the TMA shop.
Okay.
And so they have some business in there that is really awesome. If you take a tour, you'll see what I'm talking about. Mm. And this is what smart employers are doing. They're figuring out how to get and keep young people at their workplace. There's no reason Rapid City or cities like us shouldn't be doing exactly the same. We can be a retirement community, but what happens when we all die? Will we be a ghost town? I mean, why would a kid who's now 12 years old wanna stay in Rapid City? And these are kids and grandkids I'm talking about. So if you're okay with your kids and grandkids all moving away and never coming back, that's one thing. I'm not. My daughter moved away. I'm still mourning over it, but this is important. It's important to our culture in Rapid City. It's important to being in the visitor industry. This arena issue is extremely important. And if and when this goes to public vote, please arm yourself with the information you need to make an intelligent decision on this. Early voting will start April 20th. And the primary election will be June 5th, and we'll be at work June 6th, although I may be a little under the weather early that morning.
Mayor Steve Allender, that website again, barnettarena.com, where you can find the presentation on some of the details about this. Thank you so much for stopping by. Again,
my pleasure.
It's nice to meet you in person instead of always having you on the phone.
Yeah, thank you for having me.